Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Right, hopefully I'm being joined on the line by Yasmin Ali. She's the author of Power Up. And I'm really delighted to have her here. Yasmin, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing? Oh, I'm really glad that I've got you here. I just tried to speak to you and you could hear music. Fantastic. Really pleased to have you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was trying not to sing along there. I didn't know if you could hear me or not.
But it's one of those ones, isn't it, that just gets into you, but you don't want to admit it.
Yeah. Definitely a guilty pleasure.
So let's speak to you, obviously, about your book. You are writing about power issues, you know, the power supplies of our cities and our modern day and age, basically. But before we go into the book, I'd like to know a little bit more about you. You know, why did you end up writing this book? What's your background here?
Yeah, I am a chemical engineer and I work in the energy sector. And I guess maybe unknowingly to me, my journey in energy started way back when I was a young child. I was born in Baghdad in Iraq, and I remember having power cuts when I was growing up. And at the time, I didn't know that I would end up working in the energy sector, obviously. But I think maybe that lingered with me over the time. And also, Iraq is one of these countries that has lots of fossil fuels, and that's impacted the politics. And it's, you know, I think that's why I've ended up living in the UK, because of all of the politics and the wars that are really, that have stemmed from oil, probably. So yeah, working in the energy sector for the last 15 years or so. And I find that it's just such an important topic, but many people don't really know lots about it. And at the moment, there is this, it's really vital that we decarbonize our energy systems, because there is a very strong link between energy and climate change. So we really need to understand the energy system so that we can change it for the better. And that was part of the reason why I wrote Power Up. And it's very much a personal journey through the global energy system. And it's all about how we get and move and use the energy that powers our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, I'm really interested in speaking to you because I'm playing with the idea personally of trying to live off-grid a little bit more. So I'm certainly no expert and very, very interested in picking your brains, because on an individual level, I find it very interesting. But obviously, you're going into things at a much bigger scale. And you're living in the UK now, which is a place where we've got quite stable supplies. You know, we don't experience power cuts particularly often unless there's a huge storm or something like that. What does it mean for day-to-day life to live in a place where you can't rely 100% on knowing that you're going to have power in the morning?
I mean, it's tough, I guess. I'm quite lucky that I've grown up in the UK, so I can't speak from personal experience. But if you just think about what you do when you wake up. You turn the lights on, you turn on the taps to brush your teeth. You need electricity to pump that water from where it's purified into your home. There are people who have wells, they rely on wells and need that electricity for pumping water. You cook your food on a gas hob or an electric hob. Again, everything that you do every day just wouldn't function without the energy supply. And you can even think about it further back, where you think about the stuff that's manufactured that we use every day. So I'm, you know, looking at my laptop here. It's made of electronic bits and plastics and all kinds of cables that were manufactured in a factory, and that used up power. So it's really very much entangled in our lives.
Absolutely. But it's not equal around the world. There are disparities, and you were talking about Iraq there. It is a country that's abundant in oil and sunshine and these things that contribute to actually creating power sources and energy. So what is it? What would you say are the key factors that contribute to these disparities globally? It's not just about being in a place that has oil. It's a lot more complex than that, by the sounds of it.
It is. And some of it comes down to politics. And I try and veer away from that. Although in one of the chapters of Power Up, where I talk about pipelines and how we move energy from where it's produced to where it's used, I couldn't not tackle the politics. And I talk about the Nord Stream pipelines that move natural gas from Russia to Germany that are now shut down because of the war in Ukraine. And you just can't get away from it. And it really depends on how governments and societies decide to deal with the resources that they have. So Norway is an oil-rich country, but they decided to put money aside into this sovereign wealth fund that is used by the people that live there. Whereas in Iraq, it's the complete opposite, where there is lots of corruption and war, and we just haven't really handled our natural resources very well.
Yeah, as an engineer, I can imagine that you might want to steer away from politics, but the whole topic is entangled up in it. So it does sound that it's unavoidable. But you know, obviously, we have climate change things to address as well. It's a pressing issue in today's day and age. So does that influence a lot of what you talk about in your book as well?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I see climate change as an energy problem because the vast majority of the carbon dioxide emissions that are going into the atmosphere come from our energy systems. And it is encouraging to see a lot more renewables being put up. So there's lots of wind turbines in the UK, and you're probably seeing solar panels all around Spain and somewhere that's abundant with that natural resource.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we do still rely on fossil fuels very heavily. So around 80% of the energy that we use globally comes from fossil fuels. But the rate of change of renewables is speeding up. So I think we are starting to see that shift, and it is coming. And that makes me feel quite hopeful, to be honest.
Oh, I'm really glad that there's a bit of optimism here as well, because often when we start talking about these topics, it can be quite doom and gloom. So it's nice to hear from an expert, I suppose, who is hopeful for the future. But continuing to talk about challenges, what would you say that in our current energy infrastructure are the most pressing challenges? You know, there's still a heavy reliance on fossil fuels, as you say, but other challenges in the system as a whole in creating the change that you believe we need to see?
Yeah, there's lots. I'm just trying to think what to pick. It depends on the geography.
Okay.
So in the UK, for example, I see heating as quite a big challenge. We all have these natural gas boilers that are inside our homes. I think there's about 26 million of them. So we need a solution to decarbonize heating that will involve people changing their habits in a way, or someone having to come into your house and change something. And that's quite tough. Whereas with electricity, because it just comes down a cable into your home, you don't really know what's at the other end. If it's a coal-fired power station or a wind farm, you don't really see that. You're getting the product coming into your home.
Absolutely.
So that's a little bit easier. But there's, you know, people are making changes at an individual level as well. You mentioned living off the grid. I visited one housing community in Hockerton, which is in the Midlands of the UK, and they don't have any heating in their homes because the homes are so well designed. And that's maybe a challenge and something that gets forgotten about quite often is around energy efficiency. So we can design our buildings and our systems to be really efficient so that we reduce the amount of energy that we need to generate in the first place.
Yeah. And you're really talking very holistically about the whole energy system. Do you feel that individuals have a role to play? You just mentioned about people maybe changing their heating systems. Do you think that we can, as individuals, start to understand the system better? Obviously, if we read your book, we will be able to understand it much better. But then actually implement decisions in our own lives and actually have an impact on that bigger system?
Yeah, definitely. And I spoke to someone in Australia who has solar panels on his home, and the previous Australian government was quite into fossil fuels, but at an individual level, Australia, I think, had like the highest rate of individual home solar panels. So people wanted to do it, and they did. You can definitely affect change at that individual level. And if you are aware of what the energy system is and what it consists of, you can start to make better decisions. I obviously recognize that a lot of it comes down to cost as well. So I wouldn't place all of the responsibility on an individual. I think some of it has to come from governments, but then we can play a role in being informed and voting for the right types of governments that are going to help us to change that energy system and start to combat climate change.
And looking at the system globally, say it depends a lot on geography. I really like that comment there. I found it really interesting. What big changes would you like to see either from governments or from industry? Maybe if you pick a couple of different parts of the world to say, in your dream scenario, as an expert in power systems, and you could just tell governments or industries to do different things, what would you be demanding they do?
Oh, good question. I always look to Norway as like the utopia of energy, because they have really done well on using their own natural resources. So I would probably say to each region, look at what your natural resources are and think about how you can use them best. So Norway has a lot of hydropower because they've got lots of flowing water. They're really good with the shift to electric vehicles as well. Transport is one of the biggest users of energy and of fossil fuels. So that's really something that we need to look at decarbonizing. I would probably say to each region, think about what you've got. So Spain and the hotter areas of the world, you've got the sun. Let's make as much use of that as possible.
I love it. I love it. I think this is really, really fascinating, both on a huge global scale and on an individual level, not just about what we can do, but also about how much we can understand about the system. You know, I know it's taken me, maybe I'm just a really slow learner, but it's taken me most of my adult life to even understand how power comes into my house or how the things that we use in our house work. You know, like a toilet, it just seemed like this magic thing. You press a button and everything disappears. But actually, there's a whole system behind that, and a cistern.
Very good.
So I think, you know, with books like yours, us as individuals can start to learn about the system as a whole from our houses and then to a bigger global scale. If you would like the readers of your book to take away one message, what would that be? You know, what do you really hope readers take from your book?
I hope that they enjoy it, because I've put a lot of effort into putting in a lot of stories and history. So I just hope that they enjoy reading it, and therefore maybe just learn a little bit about the energy system. But my first aim was to entertain.
Oh, fantastic. So it doesn't sound too preachy or diehard. Done for that.
And maybe actually I avoided your question well there, but I think what I would want people to take away is that it is complicated, and it's not something that's going to change overnight. And that's okay.
But it sounds like you've broken it down into a non-complicated way of learning about it and enjoying reading about it. So well done, Yasmin. And thank you so much for speaking with me today. The book Power Up is out at the moment. You can have a look on the TRE, the Talk Radio Europe bookstore, or have a look in regular bookshops. Yasmin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anna.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.